Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to talk about the kingdom of God. We always talk about the kingdom of God, but here we are again, so that's what we'll do. Because here's, you know, who's sitting in front of me is the kingdom of God. Amen? You guys are the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. It's a meeting of the kingdom of God. It's a good meeting. It's kind of thin. Some folks don't know where they belong. Some folks think they belong, you know, somewhere else. They're not quite sure that what the kingdom of God is. See, the kingdom of God is you living in Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus living in you. The kingdom of God is you walking with Him and He walking with you. Remember, Adam walked, God came and walked with Adam in the garden in the cool of the day. That's the kingdom of God. He's with him daily. God made him. God made he. And you'll notice the first relationship of the kingdom of God was just wasn't Adam and Eve, huh? It was Adam and God. You know what your first relationship is? It's you and God. That's the one He designed first. Is your relationship with Him. And see, that's what the kingdom of God is all about. It's about you. It's not about the village. Amen. It doesn't take a village. It takes God. Amen. And this is who you are. You are His people and the sheep of His pasture. He loves you. And you walk with Him. You know Him. He knows you. And He is spending His day is nothing more than to spend time with you. Amen? All His angels are doing the secretarial work. His day is spent in time with you. He doesn't have anything better to do than spend time with you. Amen. Is that amazing? Well, I don't have time to spend with Him. No, it's not true. See, we've designed the world to keep you from fellowship with the Lord, haven't we? I said, haven't we? Huh? We've designed a world that keeps us entertained 24 hours a day, and a lot of you don't call that entertainment. Washing, cooking, cleaning, working, running, jumping, chasing, being chased. A lot of you don't call that fun. A lot of you don't call that entertainment. The devil calls that entertainment because he's enjoying watching it. Amen? How many know the devil loves to watch you chase and being chased? Huh? Amen. Well, if I'm not encouraging you, I'm encouraging me. So I'll just encourage me. Because I could get down on all the things that aren't being done, haven't been done, I haven't done, haven't finished, haven't gotten started. But God says for me to love Him and to follow after Him, to seek after Him with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. And all these other things will be added to me. All these other things will get done. You know what? If you'll seek God, your procrastination will go away. Huh? All the things you had never got done before, I'll tell you what, I'm the world's worst. You know? But if you'll seek God, all the things that you intended to do after or all the things you intended to seek God after you got everything done. Anybody like that? You intended to do this, that, this, that, this, that. You know what? It never ends. Does it? There's all the stuff that you're going to do before you worship God. Does that ever end? It'll never end. It just keep on coming. More stuff, more stuff, more stuff. More stuff will just keep coming. I tell you what. It's just the love of God that we say, Lord God, thank you that you love me. If you'll just go in and just, and you don't have to know 15 things to do, 15 verses to quote, a ton of things to say. Just go in and into the presence of God and just make it a discipline of the flesh, not a work of the flesh to please Him, but a discipline of the flesh to know that this is what will bless my soul. Amen? He said, what's going to bless your soul? What is going to bless your soul? Taking a bath would probably bless your body. If you do that, huh? Now, I didn't talk any, call anybody's name. But I'm telling you what, you'll just feel better, won't you? Anybody? Amen. You'll just feel better. I'll tell you what, if you'll do, if you just seek God, you'll feel better. See, a lot of folks are seeking God to get out of trouble. Just seek God because He loves me. Because He loves you. Father, we just come before You today with thanksgiving. We love You because You first loved us. We love You because You first loved us. We love You because You first loved us. Not because we're good, not because we thought of it, but because You first loved us. And Father, we just come before You with joyful hearts. Our hearts are joyful. Our hearts are joyful. And we just thank You, Lord God, that as we speak the truth, we begin to know the truth. And as the truth is known in our mind, our soul, and our will, we have become free. So we magnify You and thank You for setting us free in everything. I always like to, I enjoy starting over in Psalm 119 often, as you know. For instance, in verse 89 and 90, he says, "Forever, O Lord, Your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness is to all generations, and You have established the earth, and it abides, it remains. They, that is the heaven and the earth, continue to this day according to Your ordinances, according to Your word. For all are Your servants." All are Your servants. The heaven and the earth are His servants. If you back up, we've quoted this last time we were here, is verse 81. It says, "My soul faints for Your salvation, but I hope in Your word." I love that. Can you tell the difference there between two little items? My soul faints, but I hope. So you've got your soul, which it tends to faint, tends to be weak, tends to give up. But I, that's you. I is the you. That's the part even of David that by faith knows the Lord. I hope in Your word, even though my soul is fainting. So you got your soul over here fainting, but you got I inside that soul hoping in Your word. How many know you hope in His word even when your head and your body are fainting? And I don't mean just the fact that, you know, well, you don't know about it. No, your understanding comes from getting back to His Word and understanding that there is a part of you that has received of the Spirit of God, that has known the goodness of God. Even in the Old Testament, these guys knew of the goodness of God because of His Word and because of His promise. So David can say, even in the Old Testament, "My soul faints." You can see that. You can look in the mirror. You're looking kind of faint. Huh? You're looking kind of faint. But I hope in Your word. And see, I've lived with that for years. I've lived with that. That word, that scripture, that promise. That no matter what my soul is doing, I am doing something else. That way you don't go down the hole and down the tube all the way. Paul said, we heard it this morning, "I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Amen? Therewith to be content. What that contentedness is not overwhelmed. Amen? It ain't exciting me, but I'm not going to complain about it. I'm not going to spend my day grousing about it, about the trouble. Because, you know, like another thing we heard this morning was that, well, that builds character, don't it? Yippee! Well, more character. You write that down. That's like telling a little kid to save part of his allowance. That builds character. Well, fully on character. I want more candy. You know? Huh? You're fully on that. I don't want character. I want, I want everything now. I want it good now. See, the reason you need character is you've been raised in a world without it. Huh? You've been raised in a world that has no character. Or we're raised in a world full of characters. But you need to have character built in you because you have no understanding of what it is to live in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is different. So when the enemy came in, he said, hey, what about this here tree here? Well, God said, don't have that tree. Well, what's the matter with this tree? This is a good tree. That guy's selling stuff off of that tree. It's not even his tree, but he's selling that tree. You have that enemy in there selling that tree. Boy, we're gonna get this tree. We're going to empty it out. If he'd had the internet, he would have used the internet. Sell that tree. See, he wants to sell that thing. It's because he wants everybody to get in on his plan. He's got a great plan. His plan is to depress you. Let's find out about evil. Let's show it to you real big so that we can get you all depressed. God just came in. He just wanted to love you and show you his goodness and his blessing and his mercy. Amen? That's what his desire was. What do you want the rest for? If God wanted to give you goodness and blessing and mercy and grace and righteousness and peace, what do you want to check out the other stuff for? Amen. Well, we got to learn. I mean, every kid wants to do that. Age 12, right? I'm convinced Adam had to be 12 years old. Or at least Eve had to be. Hey, let's check it out. Maybe 13. A lot of people, they like to have Adam in the little pictures in the little kid books about like 30 or 25 or 30. I think he's way younger than that. Because I'm going to check this out. Boy, this looks good. Because the guy was deceived. Amen. Hey, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. God loves you. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. It says here, my eyes fail for your word. This is Psalm 119, verse 82. We'll get to the sermon in a minute. My eyes fail for your word, saying, when will you comfort me? That's what my eyes do. It's part of my soul. My eyes, my body, fail for your word, saying, when will you comfort me? Looking for comfort. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. This is good. I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Now, in this day, a bottle, anybody know what a bottle was? What did they use for a bottle in those days? A wine skin. See, in a bottle in the smoke, see, they would oil that thing and keep it smooth and soft and able to, squeeze it and get the wine out. But a bottle in the smoke, what happens to that? It dries that thing out and it cracks and it just becomes unusable, begins to leak. I'm become like a bottle in the smoke. I'm going to leak it. I had the wine inside, but I'm leaking. And I'm dried. And I'm bruised. And I'm cracking. Yet do I, next part of the verse, yet do I not forget your statutes. Oh, we're back to the I now. We're back to the I, the me, the man of God, the one who is inside of you, the one who knows the truth. I hope in your word. I do not forget your statutes. Even when my body is and my mind is complaining and being destroyed, when all of my stuff is going away, I do not forget your word. Remember what he told Joshua? He said, don't forget his word, the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Don't let it depart out of your mouth. See, if you begin to talk about your problems, it'll be what you remember. I do not forget your statutes, or I do not forget my problems. Which is it? I do not forget my problems. My problems are ever before me. I'm always remembering my problems. I look at my problems more than I look at my husband. My husband is my problem. My wife is my problem. No, your problem is you forgot his word. You forgot his promise. Amen? See, we're just encouraging you on a daily basis to remember His Word. Amen? Put courage in you every day to remember His promise, to remember His Word. Yes, there are troubles, and yes, I haven't had the troubles you've had, and you haven't had the troubles that I've had. But I tell you, I'm reminding you, building yourself up. Find somebody here in the church to build you up and encourage you. Build each other up. When there's trouble, build each other up. Amen? Huh? Yes. Find someone who will build you up, not somebody who will agree with you on your problem. Yeah, boy, man. Or compare problems with you. Yes, sir. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders." He said that of his kingdom and his government and of peace there shall be no end. And this is the kingdom of David. The kingdom of David. That's a good message right there. But that's not the one I want. Started with the right verse. Let's turn over to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Look at verse 13. Now here, we're talking about where Daniel has been seeing the vision. Talked about the little horn. Talked about how the Ancient of Days is coming. Looking at verse 13, he says, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and to the Ancient of came to the Ancient of Days. One like the Son of Man." Who do you think that is? Jesus. "One like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven." How did he come? With the clouds of heaven. Sounds like this is the Jesus who is to come. And how did he leave? Anybody remember how he left? And what did the angels tell the disciples who were looking up in the sky? He come back the same way. What are you looking in the sky for? And he says, and he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Turn over to verse 22. So this is his kingdom. This is the kingdom that shall not be destroyed, which is an everlasting kingdom. What are we talking about? We're talking about the kingdom of God. So we have to get this world and this kingdom and this government out of your brain. Huh? Amen? This is a kingdom that is to come, but it's here already. It's here already because it dwells in you. You've got to have an understanding. Well, by and by, Jesus will come. I'm glad I got saved. Glad He died for my sins. I'm glad I'm going to heaven one day. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Amen. Well, that's nice. You know? In that bright land where we'll never grow old. You know, what good does that do somebody here? You want to minister the word of truth and the love of Jesus Christ and see the power of God work in somebody right here, not let them just, you know, kind of ease on until they expire in this life. Amen? Because you're filled with joy. Let's have joy on the way. Let's not have a veil of tears all the way to heaven. Amen? Even though this world has nothing joyful to offer, except Dish Network, or Chili's. My goodness. Things just slip out of us, don't they? Huh? Mexican food, yeah. Oh, they can have that in heaven? I don't want to go there. Amen. Now, I'll tell you what, this kingdom of God is for your benefit right now to walk in joy, thanksgiving, and the Spirit of the living God will encourage you, build you up. See, because this is how you were designed to live. This is how you were built to live. You were built to live indwelt by the kingdom, by the heavenly Spirit of God, by the Spirit of the living God. Amen? All right, now keep going. Verse 22. So this is the dominion that was given to him, and glory and a kingdom that all people, all nations and languages that should serve him. Sounds like 1,000 years of peace, amen? His dominion is everlasting dominion, this is verse 14, which shall not pass away, his kingdom that shall not be destroyed. Okay, look over at verse 22. Back up one. I beheld that the same horn, the little horn, made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came. And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. How many know we're going to rule together with him? Thus he said, the fourth beast shall come. The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth. I don't want to go through all that right now. Verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Amen. Amen. All right, let's turn over to Ezra. So again, this kingdom is the kingdom in which we live right now. Amen? I want to look at something here at Ezra real quick. Verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, if you'll remember, Cyrus became king, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus. See, Darius was the king first, then Cyrus was the king after him. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia. Who stirred him up? Amazing how the Lord stirred up a guy like that. Stirred up the king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all of his kingdom. So, how many know what the kingdom of Persia is? Anybody know where it is? It's next door to Iraq. Iran. We call that in Texas. Iran. Iran. Italia. That's right. Italy. We'll get him up here to sing another song for us if he wants to talk so much. I think you talked last week, didn't you? Yeah. All right, so he stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all of his kingdom. And he put it also in writing, saying, thus says the Cyrus, the king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. Wow. Yeah. That's a big deal. And he has charged me. God, the Lord God of heaven, has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Well, it sounds like David. Sounds like Solomon. This is the guy in Iran. How about the king of Iran? Let's hear it for the king of Iran. This is long before Mohammed. Amen. Should have stuck with God. Should have stuck with the God of heaven. Who is there among all of you, all of his people? Verse 3. His God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, to build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God. Man, this guy's good. He is the God, which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remains in any place where he sojourns, let the man of his place help him with silver. So in other words, some of y'all are going to go out and build this house, and some of y'all are going to stay here and send money. Whoever stays here in the place of his sojourn, let the man of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts. Let those guys fund it. If you're going to stay home and keep your job, then you fund it. There's good mission work. There's good missions understanding, right? You know, if you're going to stay, if you go, go. But if you stay home, don't just do nothing. Well, God bless you. You know, hope you make it back alive. Amen. No, Pastor Jim, he could use some cash. So you can give to the trip. You'll know that I stayed home. Then rose up the chief, verse 5, of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites with all them whose spirit God had raised up to go to build the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem. And all they that were about them strengthened the hands of those who were going to go with vessels of silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts and with precious things beside all that was offered willingly. Praise the Lord. That's it. Amen. So it's all offered willingly. Look over at chapter 2. Sorry, not chapter 2. Oh, if we go with chapter 2. Okay. Let's see here. No, it's not chapter 2. I'll just tell you about it. Zerubbabel and Yeshua, they were the ones who went in charge to build up the building, to build up the kingdom of God, the God's temple in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem. They built it up, began the offerings, and began the worship. See, I'm going to have to find that. Is it chapter 3? Well, there it is. Chapter 3, verse 2. That's what it was. Then stood up Yeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren, the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel. Anybody remember him? And his brethren, and builded the altar of God of Israel to offer burnt offerings thereon, as is written in the law of Moses. And they set the altar upon its basis. That is, they set the altar upon its foundation. And fear was upon them because of the people of those countries. Well, in other words, you start doing something, you got the people, anybody got been seen as people in this country. There's people in this country that you might have been afeard of. Huh? I mean, you're out here, you decided to step out on a limb and build the kingdom of God. And you're building a foundation wherever it is you are. You're building a foundation, whether it's at work, in your neighborhood, or wherever. You're building a foundation, and there's people around you. And these people are around you going, "What in the world are you doing? You sure are making a lot of noise." Had a lot of hammers and chisels back down there. "You sure are making a lot of noise. You need to be quiet. You need to quit building your kingdom. God's desire is that we build His kingdom. Amen? It's just in every place and in everything. Everything that you are, everything that you... Be not afraid. Be not afraid to build the kingdom of God. He said they set the altar upon its basis, and fear was on them because the people who of those countries. They offered burnt offerings thereon to the Lord, and even burned offerings morning and evening. Verse 10, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites with the sons of Asaph with the cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, the king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks to the Lord, because He is good, for His mercy endures forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout, And when they praised the Lord, because of the foundation of the house was laid. But many of the priests, the Levites, the chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, they wept with a loud voice. And many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout from the noise of the weeping. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. This kingdom is brought about in you as you open your heart to His Word and to hear the Word of the Lord. When He says, "Who will go for me? Who will go for me?" And it's your heart that responds. Amen? It's your heart that responds. And so when your heart is responded, then now you know your flesh is weak. Amen? So what I begin to do is encourage my heart. Amen? Is I encourage my heart and build myself up from the heart first. Build myself up from the heart first. And begin to encourage those who are with me. Those who are around me. God is desiring that His kingdom be built in you and then demonstrated throughout your kingdom, your life, your family, your job, your where you go. This is what He's doing. This is what He's doing. He's not just waiting till the end. Amen? He's not just waiting till the end. And His kingdom is in you. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5. And Jesus, seeing the multitudes, before we remember Jesus at this point, first of all, John came preaching the kingdom of heaven. You remember? John came and preached and said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus came and He began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It's now. The kingdom of heaven was not later. The kingdom of heaven is now. That's when Jesus began to preach. He began to preach the kingdom of heaven is now. Repent. What is that? Turn around. That is, change your mind. That's what I'm saying to you this morning, is changing our mind. Leaving the place of our captivity, as in Ezra, to build the house of God. Building the house of God. Leaving the place of your captivity. Are you captive this morning? Huh? Leave the place of captivity. See, God's opened the door. Through Jesus Christ, He's opened the door to leave your place of captivity. Well, it's a bad job. It's a bad marriage. No, that's not the part of you that's captive. You're captive because you've believed in this kingdom instead of the kingdom of God. Amen? You're captive because you believed in this kingdom rather than the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is what sets you free. You may be in a nasty, awful place. But the kingdom of God is what has set you free. The kingdom of God is life, health, truth, peace, right now. He has set you free. Do you believe that? Amen. I do believe that. Yes, I do. Yes. No, I don't. Yes, I do. Having an argument with yourself. Amen. Anybody ever do that? You have an argument. Yes, I do. No, you don't. You believe this. You know, no, you don't. No. I believe the truth because I've chosen to believe the truth because that's what's going to set me free. Amen? So this truth is setting me free. When I'm captive, it says, take every thought captive to the Word of God. Casting down imaginings, vain imaginings. Well, this thing ain't a vain imagining. It's a major, major, big, in-your-face crisis. You know what? Jesus knows how to handle those. He knows how to handle those. I mean, you may go through the ringer before it's all done. I'm serious. A lot of you say, yeah, I know you're serious. I've been back and forth through the ringer. Well, see, he's setting you, but the thing is, he is setting you free. He's building in you the kingdom of God. He's building in you the kingdom of God. Are you rejoicing? Are you giving thanks? He says, in everything rejoice. In everything rejoice. No! I'm not gonna. Well, then, just be miserable, then go ahead. No, he said, in everything rejoice. No! Well, then be miserable. You know, we got people calling all the time. Same problem. Rejoice. Well, I did. I did. It's like I did and it didn't change. Well, it's not supposed to change. It's you that's changing. Hallelujah. Amen? Huh? I wanted it to change if I'd rejoice 5 times. If I'd rejoice 100 times. Will it change then? Well, I just got a revelation for you. You want to hear it? Remember when Peter asked Jesus, he says, if somebody sins against me, how many times do I have to forgive him? Up to 7? For me, that correlates to the same thing. Well, how many times do I have to rejoice for this thing to get fixed? 7? Jesus says, I tell you the truth, up to 70 times 7. And you still may not repent. Huh? Oh, man. That's awful. So you get to rejoice until you changed, not until it's changed. You get to forgive until you change, not until they've changed. Anybody know that? Hallelujah. This is what rejoicing is all about. It's because you know that it's all about the kingdom of God, not about somebody changing. Not about something getting right, getting fixed up. Amen? Let's do it. Now let's rejoice, 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 rejoice. Amen. Just rejoice in the Lord always. A friend of ours, Kent Walbridge, used to say, always and in always. Hallelujah. Learn how to rejoice in everything and not look for, you know, that sounds awful, you know, not look for an answer. But I tell you what, the answer comes in you. And then many times an outward response begins to happen. An outward change in the circumstance begins to happen. Or you just don't care. But I tell you, the change takes place in you. Amen. This is powerful. This is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you. He's within you. Okay, chapter 5, Matthew. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. I think it's funny, don't you? Here comes the multitudes. Jesus. He headed up into a mountain. And these people are coming. And his disciples came to him. And when he was set, so he went up there and sat down. And his disciples came to him. Who came to him? Who came to him? Oh, his disciples. And he opened his mouth and taught them, his disciples, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy. Fortunate. Happy are you. Happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are you that mourn. That's crazy talk. You're blessed when you mourn. You're fortunate when you mourn. Fortunate are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed, happy are they, which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You're hungering and thirsting. You don't have it yet. You're thirsty, hungering and thirsting after it. Happy are you. Happy are the merciful. for they shall obtain mercy. Happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Happy are the blessed, are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Happy are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are you when all men shall, when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Happy are you. Happy are you. You are happy. You are. No, I'm not. I just checked. I'm not happy. Well, you're checking the wrong box. Amen. So you need to check the kingdom of God box, not the kingdom of this world box. When was Jesus irritated, unhappy? Huh? I said, what? Can you remember when Jesus, remember that time when he was irritated, unhappy? Yeah, when he took that whip, started whipping them people in that temple. Whipping that temple into shape. No, he loved those guys. Get them out of there. You've made my house a house of money. House of making money for yourself rather than a house of prayer. But was he angry at them and unforgiving of them? No. In fact, he loved them. How about you? Do you remember when Jesus was angry at his, all these folks? Especially the ones who were taken in sins. Remember that? I don't remember that. The reason I say that is I don't remember. How about you? You're filled with the Spirit of the living God. Amen? Yeah. See, this is going to be helpful. You're filled with the Spirit of the living God, so the Spirit of the living God causes you to walk as He walked. Amen? Not to be a good person. Quit trying to be a good person. Thank God. Thank Him. Rejoice in Him. He's in you. He's in you both to will and to do. To will. To want to. He's in there to want to. I don't feel like I want to. Well, get back to rejoicing. Amen. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you love me, that you're ministering through me, that you're loving through me, that even these people that I'm angry with right now, I'm just forgiving. I forgive them. I forgive them. Out of my mouth, I forgive them. Now, out of my emotions, ooh, that's a different story. You know, I got somebody I know who wants to love you, forgive you, and leave you. She wants to forgive you and leave you. Is that forgiveness? Or is forgiveness that you could love them and stay with them, and even if they're just a jerk, and still stay around? Well, I would rather leave them. I forgive you and leave you. Don't be near me. Don't be around me. Don't show up to me again. No. Again, people, we want to say, well, that was Jesus. Well, there's a good cop-out right there. That same Spirit which raised up Christ from the dead dwells in me. Huh? Same Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you. He dwells in you. He lives in you. He's in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He's bringing it to pass. This is His kingdom. You are His kingdom. And He's bringing it to pass in you Monday morning. Amen? Monday morning. Hallelujah. No matter what time it is, God's bringing it to pass in you. Or Sunday afternoon. Or, whenever you go home. He's bringing it to pass in you. Because you have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you. Now, I'm not saying go home and work at it. Amen? Just go home and know it. Go home rejoicing and go home and know it. Amen? And God's going to bring something to pass in you. He's going to cause something to take place in you. As you remember, as you believe, as you stand on it, He is going to begin to produce these things in you. He produces these things because it's seed, it's fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. If it was the fruit of the flesh, you could have done it. Remember what the fruit of the flesh was? Read Galatians chapter 5. We won't go there. But you go read Galatians chapter 5. You may recognize the fruit of the flesh. Such were some of you. And the rest of you were just as bad. Amen. Hey, you know how much God loves you. Do you love one another? Say amen. Yeah. Do you love the people that hate you? Forgive those. He says, bless those that despitefully use you. Well, that might be your husband or your wife. Might be your children. Amen? Maybe bless those that use you up. That eat you for dinner. Huh? Bless them. Well, I can't. Well, why not? You like people who come up with the answer like that, and just that's the final answer. I can't. You just tell them, well, why not? Get right with them. Because he loves you. He is in you. He's flowing through you. This is the Holy Ghost. I just wish we had Jesus. Well, this is better than Jesus. What did he say? No, Jesus said this is better. I'm going to send you another comforter. He is with you and shall be in you. I can't get in you. There's only one of me. I can barely hang out with three of you, much less 12. I mean, it's hard enough for Jesus to hang out with Peter, James, and John. Hang out with Peter for a while. Oh, you like hanging out with me? Okay, maybe like hanging out with me. I was going to say I'd be hanging out with Pastor Jim, but he's not here to defend himself. So, listen, it's the kingdom of God. Amen? And this is the Spirit of the living God. He's living in you, and you're rejoicing. And again, your rejoicing is what? Your rejoicing is causing you to have the character of God built on the inside of you. It's not causing something to change. When you are doing what God commands you to do, it's for your blessing and your benefit and your joy. Amen? It's not to get the problem fixed. Hallelujah. It's to set you free. Hallelujah. So forgive your wife. Forgive your husband. Hallelujah. After you have a big blowout. It's good to do. Janet says it's good to do that once in a while. Isn't it? Yeah, just leave the knives in the drawers. What are y'all laughing at? Thought y'all be happy the sermon was over. Amen. Well, listen, I'm going to have the deacons are going to come down here, and if you need prayer this morning, we're going to pray. Amen. So don't hang out and don't, you know, if you need prayer for something, come on up and let's get it taken care of. Amen. We'll just agree with you and pray with you, lay hands on you, get you healed, get you whatever you need. God's going to meet your need. Amen. If you need to be born again, come on. If you need to be filled with baptized in the Holy Ghost, come on. Amen. Amen. It's powerful. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to speak with other tongues. Amen? If you don't speak with other tongues, you ought to. You don't have to. You get to. Amen. You get to. I'm telling you, you get to. It's handy. See, those who pray in an unknown tongue, they pray not unto men, but unto God. And you don't understand what you're saying. But the Spirit does. For in the Spirit you speak mysteries. Paul said, I speak with tongues more than all of you. I wish that y'all spoke with tongues. Now, he didn't want you preaching in tongues, but he does want you speaking in tongues. He wants you praying to him. Amen? Or if you may have a public word, that's a whole other teaching. But he wants to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. He wants you to speak with other tongues so that you have a means by which to communicate with the Lord on a spirit-to-spirit, deep calling unto deep. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Holy Ghost doesn't make you pray in tongues. He doesn't make you pray in tongues. He said, they prayed as the Spirit gave the utterance. The Spirit gives you the words. If I were to say to somebody here, if I were to say to somebody, say, big tree. Mike, say big tree. Not the say part. Say big tree. Say, yeah, I just gave him an utterance. Amen? I just gave him an utterance. There you go. So he'll give you an utterance and you'll just speak it. Amen. Well, God is good, isn't he? How about the kingdom of God? Are you going to rejoice? Are you going to rejoice? Or are you going to forget about it? Just suffer. Suffer miserably under your affliction. When we're talking about the kingdom of God, we're talking about being translated, changing over from that kingdom to this kingdom. Sorry, guys. Everybody. Or from here to there. We've been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. So now we need to understand it and believe it and walk in it. So He says, rejoice in everything, rejoice. What do you do? In everything, rejoice. No, I don't want to. No. Do you rejoice up to seven times? No. Rejoice 70 times seven. And then some. Anybody get that? That'll set you free if you listen to that. Huh? I'm going to have to listen to this tape. I won't get that. Or CD. I guess we ought to start saying CD now. I don't think Jim will ever say CD. All right. Well, let's stand together. Let's get the deacons to come on down. Father, we just bless you and glorify you and praise you and thank you. Let's lift our hands. Hallelujah! Let's sing. Let's shout. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord, that you are mercy. You're our strength. You're our power. You're the mighty God. We thank you. We praise you. I love you. I love you with all of my heart. Don't listen to the person next to you. Just do it. I love you with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my strength. You have delivered me. I rejoice in all things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we do thank you. We do shout. We do declare these things. We, Father, not looking for a physical deliverance other than that which you've promised. But Father, we declare these things and we rejoice in the middle of trouble as we also forgive in the middle of trouble. We thank you for these things. We give you praise, thanksgiving. Let us walk back here next week giving testimony to the things that we have heard and the things that have been performed in us. And we thank you that the kingdom of God is being made manifest even in these next 7 days in the name of Jesus. And we give you praise and thanksgiving for it now. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you, give you His peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. No service tonight. Meet Tuesday morning here at 10:30 for the testimonies and we'll see you then. Love y'all.